How far would you go to try and make some money? If you're Annie Edson Taylor of Bay City, you decide to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. 113 years ago this month, on her 63rd birthday, Annie Edson Taylor became the first recorded person to go over the falls and live to tell the tale. Sherman Zavitz is the official historian for the city of Niagara Falls, Ontario. He's with us now. Sherman, it's kind of mind-boggling to think of a Bay City dance teacher deciding, I'm going over the falls, knowing that no one had ever survived it before.
Yes, it certainly is mind-boggling, isn't it? But Annie was no ordinary lady. She was a very determined lady, and as you mentioned in your introduction, she needed some money, as she put it, honestly and quickly. And she thought that would be the way to do it.
And it had to be the Canadian side, correct? Because the American side is too rocky?
That's correct. At the base of the American Falls, there are a lot of rocks. So it had to be the Canadian or Horseshoe Falls, yes.
Tell us about the barrel she designed.
Well, it was designed by herself, she claims, and built by a Bay City cooperage who specialized, I guess, actually making barrels for breweries. But in this case, it was for something a little bit different. It was made of Kentucky white oak, and it weighed 160 pounds.
And she decided to do a little test run with this barrel, didn't she, before she took her own plunge?
Well,
tell us about that.
That's true. Once she had arrived, along with her manager, Frank Russell, Tussie Russell he was called, once they had arrived here in Niagara Falls, it was suggested she do a test run. So a cat, I'm not sure if it was actually her cat, but a cat anyway, was found and placed in the barrel and sent over the falls. Can you imagine?
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, but the barrel survived very well. It did fine. The cat, we're not quite sure about. There seem to be conflicting reports about that. Some reports say the cat survived very well. Others say it lost all of its nine lives.
Oh, boy. Well, here it comes. October 24th, 1901. Take us to that day. How did things play out?
Well, there had been several postponements, partly due to weather conditions, I guess. But on the 24th, which was actually her birthday, 63rd birthday, everything seemed ready to go, including the weather. So she'd hired a crew to pull her out into the river's midstream about a mile above the falls. She was somewhat padded inside the barrel. It had cushions and so on and a bit of a harness. And the barrel had an anvil, and it also had some air holes. They had used a bicycle pump to pump a lot of air into the barrel. And then, of course, the holes were plugged. And she was towed out into the midstream. There were, roughly, accounts seem to indicate around 1,000 people around the Horseshoe Falls area on both sides, waiting to see if this stunt would actually happen, and if it did happen, what the outcome would be. So Annie was cut loose. She drifted downriver just as planned and went over the brink.
And I've stood right there at the brink, and I know what that looks like.
Well, that's a very powerful brink.
Yes.
These days, there are about 34 million gallons of water a minute spilling over the edge of that falls. A lot of water, a lot of power, a lot of strength. For a little bit, her barrel was stranded behind the curtain of water, but then it was shot out just beyond the falls. And the mate of the mess, the little excursion boat at the time, spotted it, blew its whistle to indicate the barrel had been noticed, and it eventually drifted in towards the boat docking area on the Canadian side. It was then hauled in, and one of the handlers unscrewed the lid of the barrel, peered inside, and Annie apparently reacted to the light that streamed in the barrel by blinking. And at that point, then, the handler realized she was alive. And
wow.
He stood up and yelled at, "The woman's alive! The woman's alive!" And that echoed all across the bank of the river there and up to the high bank then, where a lot of people, as I say, were standing, and people were amazed.
And were there any injuries?
Well, she was in a state of shock. She had to be sawed out of the barrel. She couldn't get out on her own. She had a cut in the forehead. But other than that, she was not too bad. A few days later, after she'd had some rest and so on, she was pretty much herself again, I guess you could say. But she described the experience in a rather interesting way. She felt the experience of going over the falls was like this. "I felt as though all nature had been annihilated." And she said, "I'd never do it again," and recommended that nobody else do it either. Although later on, interestingly enough, she suggested she might do it again, but that didn't happen.
And did she make money?
No, unfortunately, the reason for all this did not materialize. She'd hoped to go on stage and talk about her barrel and take the barrel with her, of course, too. And a little bit of that was done, but she had no stage presence whatsoever. Many people thought she was just, a silly or crazy woman and weren't willing to spend money to see such a person. So the lecture tour, or whatever you want to call it, didn't really do that well. She was later reduced, I guess we could say, to selling postcards of herself and her barrel, picture postcards, on street corners in Niagara Falls, New York, and on this side of the river as well at times. So it was sad.
Did anyone, Sherman, ever figure out why it was that she made it? Why Annie Edson Taylor of Bay City made it when so many others since then have not lived to tell the tale?
No, I think a little bit. Matter of fact, a lot of luck probably was involved there. her barrel was, well, it was well made, I guess, as you might expect. But still, there were a few imperfections. She had an anvil attached to the barrel for ballast. Well, it wasn't attached too well, I guess, and was letting a bit of water in the barrel. That would be a little disconcerting as you drifted downriver. And a few other things went wrong, but she had lots of luck, and I think that really describes it as well as anything.
And since then, how many people have successfully gone over the falls?
Well, we've had 16 people who have deliberately challenged the Horseshoe Falls or Canadian Falls by going over the falls, either in a barrel or some sort of contraption. And out of the 16, 11 have survived and 5 have not.
And then we had Kirk Jones of Canton went over in 2003 with no barrel, didn't he?
That's right. I'm including him. He went over with no protection whatsoever and lived to tell about it, and certainly added a new definition to the word miracle. So I'm counting him, although it's a little unclear yet, and I guess always will be, as to whether he was trying to perform a stunt or commit suicide. But the fact that he survived is still a miracle, as
and,
I say.
And as I recall, I think he's been banned for life from Canada.
that may be. I'm not sure, but possibly so.
Sherman,
it's illegal to do stunts on the river. It has been for a long time. So if you do that sort of thing now, well, you're arrested, you're charged with stunting, and you have your day in court.
Sherman, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, my pleasure.
Sherman Zavitz is the official historian for Niagara Falls, Ontario, as we mark the 113th anniversary of Annie Edson Taylor's successful barrel ride over the Horseshoe Falls.